1290 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Israel saying it will respond to Iran's aerial attack, but it's still unclear what the retaliation strikes will look like.
Israel's military chief says they will respond to Iran's historic attack over the weekend, but he did not say when or how.
Iran will face the consequences for its actions. We will choose our response accordingly.
Israel is under international pressure to de-escalate this conflict, considering the Iranian attack caused little damage.
ABC's Perry Russom in Washington. Donald Trump beginning his second day as a defendant in a criminal trial. There were no jurors selected on Monday in the case involving hush money sent to adult film star Stormy Daniels. The U.S. Supreme Court will today weigh the legality of charges brought against hundreds of people in connection with the January 6th attack. Defense attorneys for some jailed under the charge of obstructing an official proceeding argue the statute is too narrow to be applied. This is ABC News. We are now hearing some of the 911 calls made in the middle of an office shooting last week in Las Vegas that left three people dead.
911 emergency.
When the calls started coming in to Las Vegas 911, some of the people on the other end could only whisper.
Oh, in the conference room?
Hiding in offices around the conference room where the shooting had just unfolded, they feared there was an active shooter coming for them.
Are you in a safe spot where the door is locked?
No. 911 call takers tried to calm them, saying help was on the way.
Ma'am, you don't have to say anything, but we have officers making their way up to the fifth floor.
And eventually it did arrive. Alex Stone, ABC News.
In Greece this morning at ancient Olympia, the Olympic flame has now been lit at a ceremony on the site of the ancient games. Usually a parabolic dish is used to focus the sun and light the flame, but cloudy weather meant to back up flame lit during a rehearsal yesterday was what was used. I'm Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Native American issues are human issues. Join Robert Plant with Native Roots for their program Awake at their new time of 9 p.m. Mondays through Fridays. Awake is proudly sponsored by Wisconsin Community Health Representatives.
What does cheese, beer, and you have to do with local radio?
I know. It's Todd Alba and the Trick V. Olsen's What Makes Wisconsin Great Tour.
To get out of your own little silo and just listen to folks, you find out Wisconsin is pretty darn great already.
It's great to be from Wisconsin, Todd. It's just such a fantastic place.
Miss them in your town, more visits, and your chance to connect coming up.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and the app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A statue honoring the first black woman elected to statewide office in Wisconsin is going up in front of the state capitol building in Madison this summer. The project got final approval Friday. Vell Phillips was elected Wisconsin's Secretary of State in 1978. The O.J. Simpson murder trial 30 years ago had a lasting impact on the way Americans consume news. Commentators became a fixture of trial coverage, and they're still used to interpret current events to this day.
It also meant that people could suspend their critical thinking to a certain extent. And I believe we're still seeing that today. The rise of social media has only made it easier.
Jane Kirkley teaches media studies at the University of Minnesota. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers bow to the Padres. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Milwaukee had a 3-1 lead over San Diego. Then came an ugly fifth inning. The Padres hitting half a dozen singles, driving in six runs. They went on to win 7-3 at American Family Field. Brewers catcher William Contreras let a Joe Ross pitch get past him. Manager Pat Murphy.
Yeah, I mean, it happens. You know, William's been so good, and the ball was not exactly a strike, but I think the ball got away from Joe and kind of takes off, you know, took off when a guy's throwing 95 miles an hour sometimes, and it could happen to any catcher on that pitch.
The series continues tonight. NFL, Packers players reporting to Green Bay for a week of meetings and physicals. NBA, the Bucks are 1-4 so far this season against the Pacers. The good news is head coach Doc Rivers has until Sunday to prepare.
Yeah, we get to practice. Yeah, and Indiana has had our number all year, right? We'll have great focus because we're going to have to.
That's Bucks head coach Doc Rivers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
It is going to be windy and cooler today. A little sunshine this morning, but clouds will increase by later this afternoon. Our high 60, the wind east gusting to 35 today. More rain tonight into tomorrow, an inch to an inch and a half or more possible by the time everything winds down late tomorrow. Our high tomorrow, right around 62. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 42.
Hey, this is Aaron from the Todd Allbaugh Show. Todd's on his way back from Milwaukee. So for the next show, we'll be back here in Madison covering the news of the day and more on the Todd Allbaugh Show from noon to 2.
From the home of the frozen tundra, Green Bay's choice for news talk, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin, live from the Civic Media Studios at the City Deck Landing in Green Bay, and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest-serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. Begin the day with a friendly voice, a companion unobtrusive. And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Like that. Yeah.
Hey, good morning. See that sunrise out there?
I know. It's unbelievable.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, I don't know if it's going to be that warm, though.
I'm going to yell at Pete because he always messes with my things there.
He has a good show, though.
All right, fine. I'll let him go.
Yeah.
Good morning, everybody. It's the first sunrise I've seen. Isn't it, Todd?
Yeah, it's because you waltzed in late yesterday, right? Yes. Some of us wake up in the morning and
I read a little bit, look out the window.
I was
going to have Todd try to adjust my phone thing for that. I lost my snooze button.
What?
My snooze button for my phone. You know where you hit snooze or stop? Mine doesn't show up anymore. So I thought yesterday, I thought I was hitting snooze and it hit just stop. I'm serious. I could show you.
That's okay. I don't set an alarm.
Hey, what size waist you wear?
Why? I'm not going to tell you that.
I'm just going to ask.
You can ask me on the 26th when we have our bet.
No, I'm just asking right now. I got to speak at 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
I don't have a belt. I'm serious. You know how much belts are? I bought one not long ago at Kohl's. It was like $40.
Yeah, I know, right?
Belts when are did expensive. Belts become so expensive?
They are. Belts are expensive.
So I thought for sure I'd find my belt last night, and I did not.
Yeah, you want to wear one.
Ladies and gentlemen, wearing the mayoral belt today is John Mino.
I don't know, John.
Do you have one of those? Jim, you've got like a big belt buckle one, don't you?
Oh, that's true. I was supposed to.
That rodeo thing or whatever, wasn't it?
Yeah. That will not fit you, John.
All right.
That one. That was 20 pounds ago.
So, oh, okay. No, which way?
No, the.
Which direction?
No, on the. You wait. On the
26th. Boy, I got to be honest. You know, we got Warren Gerds coming in. Warren, of course, legendary writer here with the Press Gazette. And there's a picture in his book of you and him. You're like giving him some kind of an award, or he's giving you some kind of, I don't know, something. But you were, you know what? In my song where I say.
That ode to the mayor?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yesterday when I was mayor, yeah. I was lean and mean. You were lean and mean, and your hair was really dark.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. I look at those pictures. But yeah, I mean. It's the stress of the job. No, you just get
this
older.
Job.
No, not this job. That job. No, I.
Because
right.
Stress is getting to me.
I look at that and I would complain.
Todd, stress is getting.
To me. I would complain. I had a guy that took pictures when I went out on events, and I complained. I said, "Look, dude, you got to do better pictures." He goes, "Look, I can only work with what I got."
Absolutely.
He's kind of like talking back to me a little bit. Like, I'm the mayor. You're not. Anyway, yes, some of those.
Yeah, we got a big day take. Look at this show Todd has put together.
Warren's going to be great. And I think. Well, I would guess most everybody in this community knows Warren Gerds. How long was he with doing those reviews?
Oh, 30 years? I don't know about that, but he actually worked the Ice Bowl. He was a photographer's helper at the Ice Bowl.
So that's going to be cool to talk to him about his highlights.
Correct. Well, I think you'll really like it. You'd like his book.
Yeah, I got to read that.
Because it talks a lot about the performers at the Carlton.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
So, I mean, you guys could compare notes on those people back and forth.
Yeah. Some of that was a little bit of a blur to me. Some of those.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. Well, I was in college when I was doing that, John.
Okay. Hey.
So.
Whatever you say, Panama Red.
Next.
Today is National Librarian Day. I always thought I would like to be a librarian. I could just sit and read afterwards, lock up. Okay, let's go, kids. Got to go. And then just sit there and go through any books you want.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be phenomenal?
Yes.
I would love that. Today is Wear Your Pajamas to Work Day. All right.
Close.
Martin Lawrence is 59. He turned weird, huh, Todd?
Yeah, something happened with him, I think.
He was so popular, then turned weird.
Who's that?
Martin Lawrence?
Yeah.
Comedian, TV show Martin.
Mm, he was really big about 20 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
John Cryer from Two and a Half Men?
Yep.
All right. Bill Belichick, 72. Kind of strange he didn't get hired, huh?
Do you think so?
Here's
what I think. What?
I think he drove a very hard bargain.
I'm sure of that, too. I'm quite certain of that.
If you're the owner.
Yeah.
And this guy comes in and says, look, you know, the only thing you're going to have as owner is the title. Other than that, I'm making all the decisions. I bet it's not that cold, but I bet you it's very close to that.
Well, I mean, Belichick saying that to the owner type thing. I got you. Yeah, I could see that, right. I guess.
I got access to the jet.
But he's got six Super Bowls.
I know. He kind of earned the right to say that. True that.
Yeah, Cowboy Dave, thank you for the offer on the belt. No. I'm just going to say that, Cowboy Dave.
That's nice of you to offer.
Yeah, it's nice to even assume. Yeah. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, 77 today. Bobby Vinton, 89. You know what I think's happening with
that
Kareem?
That guy's so talented. Not Kareem.
I knew you were going to say that.
Bobby Vinton is the man. He is the... I'm going to talk to Warren Gerds about him. Bobby Vinton, Johnny, there's a guy that, you know, a Polish prince, and but he plays...
Was he in Greece?
No.
No. Bobby Vinton's, I always get 89. All those guys. Jeez. Well, the movie Grease came out in 1977.
Yeah, I don't know what he would play in Grease.
Yeah, who was the guy? Was it Frankie Valli?
Frankie Valli.
Beauty School Dropout.
Yeah. This guy's unbelievable.
Blue.
This
is Adam Velvet.
He has some.
Where's the name? She wore blue.
Listen to how Johnny.
Velvet.
Do you really think you're singing on key?
Yes.
Gee, see, that's a problem.
I do.
That's okay. Let's move on.
I 100% do.
But I know.
I'll tell you what, that brings back memories of like Saturday mornings when my sisters were like cleaning the house and they had all those kinds of records on.
Well, we always listen to Top 40.
Well, he was Top 40 then.
No, I meant Casey Kasem was always on Saturday mornings.
Oh.
You know what
Not
I mean?
When I was a kid.
Well, somebody was. Yes, he was. When did Casey Kasem start
in the,
his Top 40?
In the 70s.
That's when we were cleaning, 70s.
I wasn't a kid. I'm talking about when I was like 8.
John, in 1970, you were 8.
Okay. I'm going with that.
No, 12. You're okay, whatever.
Whichever one.
Okay.
I got a fake ID that's not even that bad.
But I can't believe Bobby Vinton's 89. Holy mackerel, that's like 90. Wow. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Todd, I told you the time my daughter called me all upset. She wanted me to really go after a guy and yell at him and do whatever, because of what happened at a bar the night before.
All right.
He took her fake ID.
Oh.
Here's the bouncer.
You can't really defend that one.
How do you defend that? And she goes, okay, Dad, but just, you know, it's Lindsay's, my other daughter's.
Oh, yeah, there was a lot of that.
Oh, God.
And then she took your brother's ID.
Did you ever have one? Oh, my brothers were 17 years older than me. I didn't.
Oh, see, my brother.
Did you ever have a fake one made?
No, I used my brother's.
I had a fake one made one time. Honest to God, true story. And you know what the guy put for my birthday?
What, the Christmas?
The exact year.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, he based all the information off my regular thing that I had or whatever.
So what good was it?
It wasn't.
How much you pay for that?
$10?
Yeah. I was going to say that.
You get what you pay for.
I know. Right?
But there was no pictures on your license back then.
No, this was a permit, more of the permit type thing.
Yeah. And they didn't, I mean, they more wanted you to...
I mean, I was 16 trying to pass 18. I mean, not a big, huge, whatever.
Yeah. And the country bars. I don't know. That's where you went, right? Of course, there's all country
Marquette.
Where you lived. Yeah.
Check out the college girls. Hey there. I'm going to be a junior in high school this year.
Sure.
Did I buy you a drink?
Sure, that was, yeah.
I didn't get an allowance yet, but I swear when I get paid, I'll bring you something.
So, Lou Alcindor, right?
Yes.
Remember when he signed?
I think he prefers Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, but go ahead.
I'm just saying. When he played for the Bucks, what was his name?
Lou Alcindor, and then he changed it.
Okay, during the Bucks, I remember Herb Kohl.
I think so, yeah.
He drove a pretty hard bargain, didn't he, with Herb Kohl? And Herb Kohl said, wait a minute, let me get this straight. You want, and the team wasn't worth that much. And he goes, look, why don't I take what you want and you take the team? Now, it's changed significantly since then. But, yeah, when he first bought them, that was, and they weren't worth what they are today. But anyway.
Well, you know what he, Lee Remmel, the legendary Lee Remmel.
We were
Remmel.
Just talking about him this morning, right? Yes. You and I were, yeah.
And he had one of the greatest phrases of all time. Because you'd have these Packer players, and even some coaches, that were just kind of jerks. I mean, they just were hard to work with, didn't want to do interviews, didn't want to help out, didn't want to whatever. You know what I mean? Just kind of me guys. Mm-hmm. You know, what's in it for me type guys.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, when it get near the end of their careers, and they knew things were, you know, the days were winding down.
Right.
And all of a sudden, they became so much nicer. Right. And nice. Lee always had the perfect phrase. They start saying hello when it's time to say goodbye. And Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is like that. He had the worst. He was one of the nastiest, most unfriendly guys in the NBA. In fact, during All-Star weekend, Charles Barkley even had a thing. He actually played an All-Star game with him, but never really met him. So the other guys, Kareem was sitting over in his locker stall reading a newspaper. And Barkley's like, man, I just want to say hello to him. And he goes, yeah, go ahead. He'd love to talk to you. Love to talk to you. Knowing what was going to happen. And he walked up and goes, hey, man, Kareem, how you doing? Charles Barkley goes, looks up and goes, I'm reading. And goes back
down. Like your dad.
And wow. Then I had one incident with him. Not an incident, but I was going to do it. I was going to school at Arizona State, and I was kind of stringing for the newspaper up in the UP, the Marquette Mining Journal. And one of the Lakers' assistant coaches' names was Stan Albeck, and he used to be Northern Michigan's head basketball coach. Okay? And now he's assistant with the Lakers. So I go, he said, oh, meet me at the arena at such and such. And I'm looking for him. And I'd never even been there. But, you know, I'm going through all these corridors, the old-fashioned coliseums. And I open up this door. I just throw open the door because I'm running late. And, and there is the biggest human being I've ever seen about 3 feet away from me. Kareem sitting on a trainer's table with his foot up, get his foot worked. And I still remember two things. I remember his foot being, I swear to God, it looked 2 feet long. Yeah. And his hands holding the side of the table were like a foot long.
Yeah.
And I go, hey, Kareem, have you seen Coach Albeck? He goes, I think he's in the lunchroom, man. All right, thanks. And I walk up, and my heart just, his eyes were like this big, like, who's this little white man just barging into where I am? And I told this story to Stan Albeck, and he goes, oh, my God, you know Kareem hates the press. He called it the press bag. Hates the press, right? I go, yeah. He goes, and you actually got something out of him? Yeah, he said, he told me where to find him. He goes, man, you really are from the UP, aren't you?
Wow. He's changed a little bit, though.
That's
now, right?
What I
he's,
mean.
He's a nice guy.
That's exactly what I mean.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I mean.
Yeah.
Yep. He could have been this way 30 years ago.
Yep. Right.
But he wasn't. Now he's trying to get involved in all these things and whatever and starting to say hello when it's time to say goodbye.
That's really says a lot.
Yes.
You know,
I agree.
And I think, you know, I think
it's kind of a lesson.
Well, I think it's not just akin to sports.
No, I agree.
I think there's some people.
I mean, look at yourself. You're starting to be nice now.
I was just going to say something
new
like
me.
That.
You
should let you have that
me.
One.
That's all right, John. Just hit it out of the ballpark.
The new me.
I got you. This was great music.
Yes, this guy's unbelievable.
I mean, it really was.
The Polish Prince, absolutely love this guy. He's so, and he's so talented.
If you slid your 8-track tape, though, in your Gremlin, and listening to this, you'd probably fall asleep behind the wheel, I'm just saying.
Gremlin, you did not have a Gremlin.
No, I
did
don't.
You? Oh,
no.
Did you?
No.
Remember the AMC Pacer?
Absolutely. Yeah. All the AMC stuff. I don't know what they were doing in Kenosha or whatever. None of that lasted. Wow. We had to set our break.
Neither did the plant.
No. Big show coming up. Warren Gertz joining us. Gizmo Aisha Morales from Channel 2. Oh, yeah. Fun day. Stay with us.
Warmer than me. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matinee on Air.
Most of us agree that every Wisconsinite deserves affordable health care. California mega millionaire Eric Hovde does not. Hovde said he would repeal the Affordable Care Act, quote, in its entirety. What? The Affordable Care Act protects people from insurance companies refusing coverage for pre-existing conditions and stops them from dropping your coverage if you get sick. If Eric Hovde got his way, millions of Americans could get hit with increases in their healthcare premiums of 20% or more. Millions more could lose coverage altogether. Hovde even spoke out against parents helping their kids by keeping them on their health insurance plans until they turned 26. Now, that might be okay for Eric Hovde. His businesses have raked in millions of dollars in handouts. But it doesn't cut it for hardworking Wisconsinites and our families. Call Eric Hovde at his California office, 714-730-4444. Tell him we support lower health care costs. Paid for by Better Wisconsin Together Incorporated.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Looking Tuesday morning, 47 degrees in Oshkosh, 45 in Appleton, 43 in Green Bay. Beautiful sunrise out there. This would be such a great day to have woken up on the boat, looked out at the sunrise. You know what I mean?
No, I would not sleep on a boat. Nope.
Why would you not sleep on a boat? That is one of my dreams in life.
Yeah.
I have never slept on a boat. And sometimes you can't. Do you ever do this when you can't sleep? You visualize you're someplace else. To, like, be real comfortable. That's why I've been watching all those videos I told you about these guys building these wilderness shacks, basically.
Yeah.
And I'd love that. I'd love to have this little shack out in the woods that you hand-built with just an axe.
Right, and then and bugs, you get a little, snakes.
There's no bum. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Oh, because those cobras around Wisconsin this time of year are pretty bad.
Whatever. Yeah. Snake.
But anyway. Sometimes I do it. I think I'm sleeping on a boat. I would love to sleep on a boat, and I've never done it. Don't you think that'd be the most coolest thing in the world? Just kind of be rocking maybe. At night, seagulls and everything?
Yeah.
Did you go on a cruise? Did you ever go on a cruise?
Just not a real cruise. Like I went from...
To take the Badger?
Oh, yeah. I've done that a bunch of times. One time I got the... just the overnight thing, sleep in the club, whatever, in those cars. But usually during the day...
On a train?
No, on the Badger.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I've done that a bunch of times. We went there when we were little kids. My dad took us over there, and he said when you get where you can't see land anymore, which is cool, then you throw a penny over and make a wish.
Ah.
So I did that with my kids, but then they got older. My daughter went to school over there, and so we took the boat back and forth.
Anyway, okay, cool.
Yes, that's a cool thing. No, I took a it wasn't really a cruise, but from London to Amsterdam.
Are cruises good or not? I mean, you hear so many negatives these days, don't you?
Here's the deal with
it's like yeah, I would. But, I don't think I'd go on one.
No, here's the deal, flu you guys. Outbreaks and
bad
well,
food.
That
bad food,
but and kids. So you want to find a cruise because you know they got these water parks on there, and you really want to spend your vacation
at the Dells
at Gurney, right? Or at the Dells. So, but there's cruises that are more catered to. What you want and smaller cruises and more historical cruises and no kids cruises. And, you know, it's fun to go. I think someday I could see going with the grandkids and buying a cruise, but no, I would not do that now.
Because of all the different reasons? I mean, all the different things that are happening in that too, or just in general?
No, I wouldn't mind going on a cruise.
See, I would love to go on
islands.
I would love that.
I mean, some of those cruises, they hit like six different, you know, that's a lot.
Yeah.
I don't know. We talk about it, but I'm not sure I want to do that.
We could go together, all of us. What do you think, Todd?
He'd be on the promenade deck. He'd be down in the bowels of the ship.
You know? How does this thing work? Now, is this diesel? Is this how many horsepower?
That or how come you'd be like, how come there's no windows in my room? the real cheap ones, they don't have any windows. So.
Don't they?
Oh, there's some internal. I don't. There.
Oh, that'd be the fun part is having that porthole.
Well, of course.
Oh,
there's got to be rooms on the inside of the ship, right?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
there are, and they're bunk beds. But I think that's probably, you got to be really budget, or maybe that's for the crew. But yeah, no, there's no windows in there.
Wow.
I mean, who would do that, right?
I know. Can you imagine what our ancestors or my grandma's when they moved over from Italy, and she was pregnant. She was like 7 months pregnant. I think it was my mom when she came over.
Yeah.
I mean, isn't that down in steerage and just whatever? I'm just
The sanitation
Mike can't even believe it what they went through.
My brothers researched our family a little bit more, but I don't think it was that great grandfather was maybe it was another one. He was only 7 when he came over.
Wow.
Can you imagine as a little kid?
Yeah. By himself?
No. He came with his dad. I'm just saying that he was.
Yeah.
I guess.
What year did they come over? Well, Germans came over early, right? They came over to Wisconsin almost before anybody else. Didn't they? Belgians and Germans?
I should know all this.
And I think it was. I was reading a thing, and it's because the people that were here said, oh, my gosh, this farmland, everything is so much like Germany. It's incredible.
Yeah. Oh, totally.
I mean, they felt totally at home here.
That's where they settled. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
the Belgians, too, I believe.
Yeah. But the Germans were pretty industrial. You know, just got into the whole
beer thing?
No, really not. Yeah, I guess beer. We got into the lumber. You know,
oh, really? Okay. Yeah, your family did. Yeah.
And, you know, floating the logs down the river.
They really did that, huh?
They did, yeah.
Wow.
Sawmills. I mean, that's pretty cool stuff.
You know, there's a place in the UP. Have you ever heard of the town of Paradise, Michigan? That area? Okay, beautiful. I mean, that's why they named it. It's unbelievable. It's mind-boggling. And that's the area where they found some of the things from the Edmund Fitzgerald.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it came up there. But there's a thing called the log roll.
Oh, yeah.
Or excuse me, the log slide. Oh. It's one of the most beautiful places you've ever seen in your life. It's high cliff, and Lake Superior is like turquoise color. Just unbelievable. Wow. You think in the Caribbean. And there's this unbelievably steep hill that goes down, and it's beach sand. It's beautiful sand. And they tell people, don't go down because it's so hard getting back up. You could have a heart attack. It looks so, let's just run down this cool thing. But it's so horrible trying to climb back up. So they really warn people not to. But anyway, it's like what you were saying, though. What it was for is for they'd mine the logs.
Oh, yes.
And then they would slide them down this thing. And then the boats would be down below to lock them all up and take them to, like, Chicago and places. Right.
Yeah.
But they said those logs would get so much speed that some would be on fire by the time they got into the water. That's how fast they would go. Yeah. Or it's a big thing. Does anybody have any information that the log slide in the UP? I went down to the water.
Like, what do you mean? Did you go?
I walked down. My daughters and I. Okay. And they were like 7, 8. You know, they could handle it. But I remember coming back. It ripped my shoe. I lost a shoe. It like ripped the shoe. The sand sucks you in so bad. It sucked my shoes off. It's really something to see, though. It's one of the most beautiful things you'll ever see in this country. Yes.
Wow.
Has anybody ever been there? Give me a text if you have.
It says 175 feet above Lake Superior, atop the Grand Sable Dunes.
Okay.
Does that sound right? Log slide overlook.
That must be it.
Grand Marais.
Grand Marais, yes.
Wow.
Grand Marais. There it is. You ever never been to that part of the state?
No.
Or that part of the... It's just so gorgeous.
That's why I drove to Mackinac, where I've gone through there.
No. No.
And
I mean, it would have been out of your way if you...
And we stayed at some... But bed and breakfast. It was all right. I mean,
There it is. That's it. That's beautiful. Todd just got a picture.
That is steep. That goes right into the water.
Yes.
Wow.
That's what they would do. The loggers would bring their logs there, and the lumber mills would buy them and stuff.
That's how they traveled. They go down to the sawmill. So
what year did your family start?
You know.
Is it still standing?
No. They, I don't know. He was an industrialist, and my grandpa was too.
I'd like to run a sawmill.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I think
that'd be awesome. Did you ever work there?
No. Oh. We were into the lumber. We didn't, we would buy the wood that was already.
Oh, already milled?
We weren't into that.
They didn't dirty their hands. That's what I'm saying.
That part of the food chain.
We had the immigrants handle that. Jeez. We've been here for 2 years. We're American. Sprechen Deutsch, Franz! Is that the way it was? Let's be honest.
I don't know. I wasn't there.
But nine!
They were...
Yeah. Chaisa.
Anyway, but you're right about the land. I mean, they are the atmosphere, I should say.
Yes.
But the ambiance, whatever the word I'm looking for.
They just felt at home.
They did. They felt at home. They
climate
came
was
here,
the same.
Cool.
Everything was the same.
Right. So anyway, it's cool.
That's cool. That's cool heritage your family has, though.
And my brother did so much research, went over to Germany, did all this stuff. So it was, he's all in on that.
Dom is still so ticked at Italy.
Yeah, because they were so slow.
They still won't modernize it. You literally still have to go there to the little churches.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're
researchers. Why are they like that? Just because they like tradition or what?
I don't know.
Matter.
They'll get around to it. Imagine me living in Italy and running something. Yeah.
Right.
I'm going to get around to that pretty soon.
That would be the perfect gig, though, man.
Perfect gig. There's no pressure. Nobody expects you to do anything.
Yep, right.
Yeah.
That is true.
Oh, by the way, that one TV show I'm watching, they're rebuilding a place in Italy, in Tuscany. They're living my dream. But are they getting frustrated with the Italian authorities. We got some quick break. Warden Gerds, Gizmo, Aisha Morales, and Craft Beer Week. All coming up back after this.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Peach Schwabba.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
It sounds too good to be true. A company wants to contract with you for a small portion of your acres to turn it into a solar array. Be careful. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Tuesday. We'll explain why you need to be careful next.
I look at this dairy cow, and again, it's the animal that I love. The things that this dairy cow can do and the way that she can produce milk, to me, there is no substitute for milk in the world. And to be able to keep cows and help cows produce that for people, to me, that's a privilege. I'm Dr. Bill Zimmer. Nutrition and microbials, commonly called probiotics. That's BioVet. Learn more at bio-vet.com.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
As Wisconsin pivots more away from carbon-based fuels and towards renewable energy, farmers are finding themselves being approached by a lot of different folks looking for land to build solar arrays. Bill Omakin is a professor of law at the UW-Madison Division of Extension, and he says it's really important for farmers to think carefully before signing on the dotted line.
Depends on what's in that contract or that agreement. And that agreement may say that you cannot build a farm building next to a solar array to block the sun. And if that land next to the solar array was the best spot on your farm for a farm building, realize you've contracted that away. And if you attempt to do that, that's a breach of contract, and that developer can bring a lawsuit against you and force you to have that building removed. So there are rights that you give up, and that's why I say read the contracts carefully. Consult with knowledgeable legal counsel at the time that you're looking to contract.
That's Bill Omakin. He's a professor of law at UW-Madison's Division of Extension with one example that farms need to think through when making an agreement with a solar array company. Omakin says right now there's about 100 or more solar developers in the state trying to do business with Wisconsin farms and lease their land. He also advises not only paying attention to the details of the contract, but make sure you understand the plans in place for decommissioning that solar array when the lease is up.
This is Mike.
Hey.
He's getting a quick haircut at the local barber school.
It's only $5.
How bad can it? Oh! Yikes. Don't be like Mike when it comes to weed control. Get the job done right the first time and plan ahead with Status Herbicide. It delivers elite corn safety and reliable performance, so you don't have to deal with more problems than you bargained for.
No!
Status Herbicide from BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
Remember, if you'd like to hear more with people like Bill Omakin talking about the solar array leases and what you need to be mindful of, we've got it up now on our podcast. Go to MidwestFarmReport.com. I'm PM Yonke.
This is the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
It is going to be windy and cooler today. A little sunshine this morning, but clouds will increase by later this afternoon. Our high 60, the wind east gusting to 35 today. More rain tonight into tomorrow, an inch to an inch and a half or more possible by the time everything winds down late tomorrow. Our high tomorrow, right around 62. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temperature, 44.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Mino and the Mayor in the morning. And the talk of Green Bay all day long. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW. Take Mino and the Mayor with you anywhere. Download the Civic Media app today from the Apple Store or Google Play Store. And text the studio directly, all from the Civic Media app. Download it today. Now, once again, here's Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, welcome back. Mino and the Mayor here on a good look at Tuesday morning. Got a huge show coming up for you, folks. Once again, Warren Gerds, longtime writer and author. Golden Tales of a Newsman is really interesting. I can't wait to talk to him about some of the entertainers he dealt with over there. He talks about a time Marty Robbins was so, he spent his entire show just complaining about Green Bay and different things. It's really interesting.
I wonder how many reviews he's done thousands of reviews.
Thousands.
Just high school plays. Plus, you know, obviously the big entertainment that we've had, the Mayor and that'd be great. I saw him at a play not that long ago.
Also, have Gizmo coming up. We're going to do another magic trick over the air.
Are we?
He's coming in. Evergreen Theater's got something coming up that he's going to tell us about.
All right. Aisha Morales, one of our favorite people in TV news from Action 2 News, is coming in at 8 o'clock. That'll be phenomenal. We've got Andrew Roth, Ryherzer, Jody Cleveland for Craft Beer Week.
In Oshkosh, wrapping that up. I've got my hat on this morning.
That's
why I'm wearing that.
Looks very cool.
Yeah.
Looks very cool. This segment brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Turn your ordinary space into something extraordinary with brand new Pella Windows. Sleek design, custom colors available. Guaranteed to give your home the extra pop to entertain and keep you comfortable. It's the best of both worlds. At Pella, they see windows differently. They have the highest rated energy efficient products and a complete range of durable, functional, and high quality products that bring out the best in your home. Right now, get 0% interest for up to 36 months or no down payment, no interest, no payments for up to 18 months if you book before April 30th. That's right, 0% interest up to 36 months, no down payment or interest for up to 18 months if you book before April 30th. They are rated number one by homeowners. Give them a call, Pella Windows and Doors. I just got a text here. We're talking about that area around Paradise, Michigan. I got a text. Paradise is one of the most beautiful places anywhere. My buddy, who I went to Northern with, was a teacher there for 25 years, raised his six kids, lived in a 500-foot home, or lived 500 feet from the lighthouse.
Oh.
Yes.
Let's see, six kids in a 500-square-foot
home. No, but wouldn't that be a great thing to live by a lighthouse? Like I said, that's another one of my things when I'm trying to sleep. I pretend I'm in a lighthouse.
Yeah.
During a storm.
Yeah, you've talked about that.
But you wouldn't sleep in that case. You'd be going up and down with oil and, you know, lighting the lamp.
Yeah, you're right. I'd be good at that.
Oh, but
Todd, you see me? You see me at this lighthouse? What the?
The annoying. Where's
the light? We can't see shore. Crap.
Can somebody tell me why there's so many shipwrecks around this particular light?
What's going on here? Oh, my God. I know they're coming in so early. Can you get that? You do it today. I swear I'll do it.
It's like waking up with the baby.
Exactly. Can you do it this time? Yeah. I could see me being that guy.
Yeah. Okay, anyway. I don't want to talk, but giving bad info on the water. Did you see, Francis Scott Key Bridge.
Taken out.
Did you see the trouble those guys are in?
Yeah.
Get the FBI in?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Is that for negligence or do they think they may have had an ulterior motive?
No, it's not that. It's just that I think it's negligence. Before they left, stuff wasn't working.
I know.
Six people died. If they bring those guys up,
that's six murders.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know that was.
I saw that.
That fast. I didn't. I was just looking at that. I was like, oh my gosh, that is pretty serious.
Yeah.
So, little finger pointing me going on there.
I have a nephew who's a long haul truck driver. He goes over, he's been over that bridge numerous times back and forth.
Yeah.
You know what the funny part is yesterday, the bridge, Mason, I think it was closed yesterday. Mason Street Bridge.
Was Mason closed yesterday?
I think it was Mason. But aren't they doing a different bridge every day or something?
Yeah, they got to clean it.
No, I know that. But I'm just saying, it's like if you just had that one main one.
Right.
Type thing, it's like, holy crap.
I know. Yeah. It's.
Are they ever going to build a new one in like Wrightstown or someplace?
That Southern Bridge?
Yeah. Is that ever going to happen?
Mm-hmm.
When?
But it is soon. I mean, it's been talked about forever, but the Southern Bridge is going to happen. I don't agree with it, but it's
Why?
Going to happen. Because I think that's like back when you were in school learning about urban sprawl and how people are. And I think that I don't think that's good for the city. I think people will. I would rather people live in an urban environment and reinvest instead of running south. But it's going to work. They're going to build it. And I'm not against it. As I said with the Rush Arena, with all that stuff, and this is what I talk about more on my show than this show. I just think that a government leader's job is priorities. And I just think there's so many things that need to be done first.
Okay.
Infrastructure here in the city. I think, I think our port needs a little bit of work. I would put money into that. There's a lot of things I would prioritize over the Southern Bridge. But the Southern Bridge is going to happen. I'd say Rafter, the same thing with the prison. I think that should come down and he can build his, new little village there. But with what we're facing right now, that's not the most important thing.
All right.
But that's the way I feel. And look, I'm just one guy with one opinion, but it's a pretty strong opinion. And I don't mind debating people on it. I mean, I don't get worked up anymore like I used to. Well, I still get worked up a little
bit. I don't know enough about it to debate. Remember, we got a text here. The Bart Starr Bridge will be closed Wednesday. The Nitschke Bridge closed on Friday. So it must have been Mason was closed yesterday.
Okay. And what I like about what they're doing, the bridge has obviously got to be cleaned and inspected. It's different times. One's closed at like 6 in the morning. One's closed at 2:30 in the afternoon. I think that makes some sense to me that they're staggering the time.
Okay.
So anyway.
All right.
But yes, the bridges, we are a city of bridges. Well, not like Pittsburgh, but we have a lot of bridges in this city.
But now when you were mayor.
Yes.
Was that, did you control all that kind of stuff? Or was that something more with the port and with the whatever people and whatever?
Was that
under your, all the bridges? Were they 100% your jurisdiction?
Well, no, a lot of those are state-owned bridges.
That's what I mean.
But we're responsible
for
them.
But that's why I can't get the Bart Starr sign changed, right?
Yeah, it's a state-owned, but they say they're state-owned, but then we have to do all the work. You know what I mean? It's not
okay.
Like, wait a minute. If you guys claim it's your bridge, well, we built it, we paid for it, so it's our bridge. But we're gonna let the maintenance up to you. So, I don't know. I don't talk negative because we love our state, but pretty a lot of bureaucracy up there, Johnny.
You think so?
Mm-hmm.
I've already faced that just trying to get a new sign put up. It's like the state has decided, the DOT has decided, nope, this is what it's gonna be, and by God, that's doesn't matter how boring it is or how whatever.
However,
yeah.
Real leadership is when I remember we had Greg Flisham. He's the guy that's he was our economic director when I hired him. And the historic tax credits, because you want to get properties restored, old properties.
Right.
And, the other states, Michigan and I think Mississippi, they're just had all these incentives, tax credits is what they're called. And they were at 20% or 18%, and we were at 5. And Eric's, and he'd be like, we're not going to get this. His name's Greg. The developer doesn't want to do this. There's just not enough historic tax credits. And he goes, that's what the state law is. I'm like, well, then change it. And that guy worked. He busted his butt for over a year, but had all the committee meetings. And it's changed now in Wisconsin. And he's the guy that led the charge.
Oh, really?
But like you said, it's something on that bridge. It's like, well, no. Well, if you really, really, if there was a power wheel, where you get different people
segments
and that probably, I don't know, I'm not saying it could, but you just can't accept it at face value. You've got to be able to push back a little bit in a respectful way. But laws were created and they can be changed. They can be amended, but it's hard. It's really, really hard work because it's such a bureaucracy and all these committees and all these egos and all these bureaucrats, but it can be done. So, look, I think our government works. It does work, but it was not designed for efficiencies. Anyway, enough.
Should
of that.
I mention that when I speak at the youth government agenda this morning?
So according to former mayor Jim Schmidt.
No, John's speaking today. That is a great, and I've spoken at that many, many, many times. It's Youth Government Day, so they get these kids from. Oh, I bet you they're going to be from 10, 12 different schools.
Probably.
And they all come and they meet in City Hall, and the mayor's going to give opening remarks. You're going to be speaking. I think the sheriff's coming. The DA, I know, is going to be there. And these kids learn about government. And, You know, you need to be positive, but it's not perfect. So
that's why I'm going to start out my thing. Okay, so I go to a radio show with a former mayor, okay? He says the bureaucracy in government is unbelievable, and you'd be crazy to go and get involved.
No, you would encourage these kids to get into government. You get these kids, get them excited about the planning department and, you know, just the whole technology in government. There's really opportunities for these kids to work there, and it's just not the elected track.
I'm talking about my books. They want me to talk about the veterans and books and stuff like
right.
that. But I think it's cool that kids, because I mean, to pull back that curtain and see how government really works and everything, when do you really get a chance to see that? You don't.
Well, didn't you do that in school? Did you guys go to, did they get you guys on a bus and go to Madison? Did you guys do that?
From Nagani? That'd be a long drive.
I mean, but what do you really learn? Like,
and it was, you know? And it was a different state.
Oh, that's true. That's true. You were in a different state.
Yeah.
We went down there. Anyway, what, Todd?
I just think it's, when you're in school, it's tough to really learn much about government.
And
other
to
than
appreciate
the
much.
Yeah, the textbook stuff. Yes. You know, there's so much that goes on.
Yeah.
You know, even like you said, planning and the emergency government.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody told us about that stuff.
And that's why I think something like this is cool for those kids to be able to go in there and see it. You know, behind the scenes type of thing. But you're right. Like, whatever I had, social studies or civics class, whatever, it was just so much memorizing.
Oh, it was a snooze.
It's like
the wrong teacher. Those teachers will tell you, look, you guys, these people that we're going to see in Madison, some of these guys are idiots. And it's like, really? And then they, and sure enough, I remember going there. I think it was a freshman class. And when we went down there. And, you know, nobody's paying attention. You know, the guys up there talking, and they're just, and then they're like, we'd like to introduce the freshman class from Roncalli High School. They all turn up, look, and clap because they're politicians. Because did you notice that? You know, these guys were listening, but then when they introduced us, they were. Anyway, he was, what's the word I'm looking for? It wasn't textbook, it was more realistic. This is how our
government
works.
That's what I mean,
works.
And that's what I think is cool about this
right,
thing.
Right, that's what you're doing today.
Yeah.
That's what's going on today.
I'm excited about being there.
And the other thing is there's really opportunities. Everybody looks at government as elected people. Well, there's, you know, thousands and thousands and thousands of people who work in the government that aren't elected, and they have good jobs, good benefits. And so anyway, that's going to be good. I'm glad you're doing that today. I didn't get the memo, but that's a really
you're
good
I invited you.
You did. I know.
I invited
no,
you.
We've got 40 students coming to the new community shelter to do their day of service. So we have 8.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So actually getting that 8. So.
How did those two young guys that were so impressive, they're from Texas that were here doing some projects, how did it turn out for them?
That was awesome. They wrote me the nicest letter. They want to come back. So these are, what school were they from? I know you.
Texas A&M at Galveston.
Right. And they're maritime engineers.
Yeah.
And they came to Wisconsin to do some service projects. So they... kind of a religious twist on. They want to see the shrine, but then they did some work at Paul's Pantry, some stuff with Habitat, and they spent some time with us. And then you and I had them on the radio, and weren't they impressive?
Two of the most polite college kids you'll ever meet in your lifetime.
Yeah, they want to come back, and
great,
they,
bring them back.
Let's
get them to a Packer game.
Yeah, I just want to kind of keep an eye on those guys.
I
think
agree,
they're
totally.
Be pretty good community leaders someday. And
those are kind of kids I could see going to like the
given that,
youth
right.
government thing right. and taking that and just running with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were so impressive for being, 19?
Yeah.
Incredible.
Something that we're going to get on the show. There's so many great people in this community, but I think I told Todd the.
You sound exasperated.
Well, no, I'm thinking
he looked at his book like. I didn't write it down.
It's the volunteer appreciation breakfast.
That's right.
It's at the atrium from 7 till 9 or 10. And it's people that you don't really hear about, Johnny.
Yeah.
They're not on TV, but they get nominated for an award and just either the reading or just working in these. And so we're going to get some of those people. I'm going to take, you know, we're going to bring these people on our
Please
show. Because they are the ones who it all
they're
work.
They're the lifeblood of the whole
they
thing.
Are. They are.
I agree.
So anyway, there's so many good, but those kids from A&M, Texas A&M, that was fun. And like these kids I don't know what school, it might be DePier. It's DePier and Notre Dame that are coming today, but 40 kids, and we got projects, landscaping, you know, painting some rooms upstairs, and it's just great.
Nice.
A lot of good stuff going on, so as much as I can. Once in a while, I might be a little bit cynical.
Yeah,
very rarely. Very rarely.
Just a little bit.
Warren Gertz will be joining us. We come back, as will Gizmo, Aisha Morales, and Craft Beer Week.
Love it.
Stay with us.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
I'm getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, a Pfizer vaccine.
So am I, because I'm at risk for pneumococcal pneumonia.
If you're 19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, COPD, or heart disease, or are 65 or older, you are at increased risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Ask your doctor or pharmacist about Prevnar 20, pneumococcal 20-valent conjugate vaccine. It can help protect you against pneumococcal pneumonia in just one dose. Even if you've already been vaccinated with other pneumonia vaccines, Prevnar 20 may help provide added protection. Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Put that on, Warren.
What's that?
I just was telling Warren to put his headset on, and then Todd shakes his head at me like, the mic is on, and I didn't know the mic was on because I wasn't looking at Todd. Sorry, Todd.
That's
anyway,
okay.
We have got
what's
a
new
guest.
On Todd?
All my life,
I've watched TV shows and movies of radio stations where the announcers are on one side and get a producer on the other side. You've been in every radio station around here that there is.
I bet.
You've never seen a window in between. And we finally get one, and this guy refuses to look at our producer to get any cues.
Anyway,
Warren Gerd's joining us.
Oh, my gosh. We've been trying to get you on the show. You are, I don't know, Mr. Green Bay when it comes to any kind of theater, review, entertainment.
It's a great book, Golden Tales of a Newsman. I've got it upstairs here in my apartment, but it's awesome. Mm-hmm. And I know Jim will love it because you talk so much about different people at the Carlton and places.
Oh, yeah.
And I was telling the Marty Robbins story a little bit.
Uh-huh.
Can you tell? And you know, I used to be really great friends with John Romer.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So when I read, it's like, oh, my God, I could visualize him not taking crap from anybody who says you can't do it now or whatever. Mm-hmm. I thought that was pretty amazing.
Right. Took place. Wasn't Marty Robbins. It was.
Wasn't it? Okay. I thought it was Marty Robbins.
No.
No, okay, go ahead. But one of those country stars from like the 60s, 70s. Yeah.
Warren, how many years have you reviewed theater, acts, music?
Well, I started the Press Gazette in 1967. I was an editor, but also wrote right away. And maybe 2 years after I started, I did some community theater. No, I did some movies right away. I reviewed movies right away.
Right.
So since 67 and,
and really wasn't one of your first gigs, New Year's Eve, 1967, working with that photographer at the Ice Bowl.
Correct. I was, assisting as Associated Press photographer on the Dallas Cowboys sideline the whole entire game.
Really?
And the fun part of that was, for the 50th anniversary, I was working for the BFRV. I got a chance to write about the 50th anniversary of it. So I'm starting to write the story, and I have a picture in my house of the sideline where I'm kneeling next to the photographer, and there's a play going on. Don Meredith is getting tackled as the football, and the ball is in the air.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm starting to write this story, and where is the picture? Where is the picture that the photographer took? So I Googled Meredith Ice Bowl fumble, and there it was. The opposite angle of... It's instead of the angle from looking at the sideline, it's the photographer taking the picture in an instant.
No kidding.
That's the only copy. That's in my shrine at home.
Oh, you must have a ton of stuff at home.
Yeah.
When you talk.
There's actually a picture of something you're talking about. How many playbills or whatever it is, programs do you have from the years?
I have hundreds. I have them. I save them.
That's what I mean.
Because now They don't have very many playbills.
Now
it's become an archive.
The collectors.
You know what?
So it's going into the archives at UWGB.
No kidding. Yep. Oh, that's awesome.
I mean, come on. So, you know, I complain a lot because everybody's on their phone. Now they got rid of the playbills, and then you just do the scan, whatever that thing's called, that squiggly little thing.
Yeah, you got to turn it on.
So everybody's on their phone.
Right.
And the font is smaller.
Right.
It's just...
And it doesn't always work.
No, but Warren...
And a lot of times those were really creative. The artwork on those things were very cool.
And like you said, that's a collector's item. And you go to autograph to get an autograph from somebody. Right, I mean, they're not going to sign your phone. You know, they're going to sign that playbill. And I hope that bigger theaters aren't... Are they doing that everywhere?
I'm not going to other theaters.
Well, that's too bad, because what does it cost? $2? I mean, raise my ticket. I mean, they're not cheap anyway. I mean, put another $2 on there and give me a playbill. But, you know... I don't know. We like theater. We like to even go down to Chicago, and that's where you stand on the side door. That's what they're going to sign. You know what I mean? So anyway.
One of the things, Warren, and I've known you for a lot of years, I didn't know you were that had close connection to the Vietnam War and veterans and parents of young guys that were killed. The Vietnam War was really traumatic in some ways for you, wasn't it, with your friends and everything?
Well, two of my brothers served.
Yeah.
And they were at Khe San. One was in the Army, one was in the Air Force. They were 300 yards apart, and they didn't know that each other was there.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's pretty close.
Wow.
And my oldest brother was in Saigon toward the end. He was involved in communications, and he had to send somebody out to man a position. And he said, we'll try to get you back.
Wow. And then wasn't one of your first stories having to interview the parents of a young guy from Denmark?
My very first story at the Press Gazette at the time. So I was working as an editor. It was an obligation for any editor working around a desk to write a feature story every month so they understood what the reporters are going through, what they had to go through. So my very first assignment was to go to a farm in Manitowoc County to interview the parents of a soldier who was killed and he was getting a medal.
Bronze Star.
And so here I am.
It's your very first story.
Very first story. And you know what? I was prepared. I had a university degree. They taught me everything I needed to know. And also when I was in college, I was an undergraduate teaching student. And undergraduate teaching assistant. And so I was guiding others along the way.
But I will say this, though. I think with having your brother's experiences and your good friends that went over and everything, I think you had a little bit more empathy, maybe.
Well, I was drafted.
That's what I mean. I mean, this isn't some, you know, young, snot-nosed kid who doesn't know anything about it.
Right.
I mean, I'm sure.
It was in the family.
It was personal almost, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Did you ever look back in those days and say, wow, what a crazy time?
Well, all the time, because you hear complaints about how tough things are today and stuff like that. It's always was.
Yeah.
Growing up, we had polio to worry about and the Cold War.
Yeah.
You know, we're...
thank God we had those desks to save us to dive under, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If you see the orange flash, this guy dive under your desk, you'll be good.
Summerfest.
Hold it. We got to send a quick break.
Okay.
Send me your first story and we come back.
Yeah. Okay. And what I want to talk more about, I think there's a lot of people that would love your job. And I just want to talk about
a lot of people probably think they can do your job.
Well, yeah, but
just like manage a baseball team or do whatever. Yeah.
We just know anybody can do a radio show, but we're going to talk more about your career. I just think it's great what you've done for this community.
Awesome. We're going to start a quick break. Back right after this with Warren Gertz.
Broadcasting from the City Deck Studios on North Washington Street, the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
electrify your entertainment space with Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Hi, this is Gina Della from Pella. Turn your ordinary space into something extraordinary with brand new Pella Windows. Plus, getting the perfect windows and doors for your home has never been easier. Right now, get 0% interest for up to 36 months or no down payment, no interest, and no payments for up to 18 months if you book before April 30th. Take ownership of your living space and make it a place worth living with Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.